Good morning, my name is Gonzalo Suarez. I'm reporting from the 52nd edition of the Gijón Film Festival. I'm here with one of the main protagonists of this edition, who is Brillante Mendoza. The festival is doing a retrospective with the most important films he has done over the past 10 years. Welcome, Brillante.
Thank you very much.
First of all, could you please tell us a little bit about your career? You started making films a little late. You were born in 1960, but your first feature film is from 2005.
Yes. Before 2005, I was an art director for mainstream films in the Philippines. And then after doing about a dozen mainstream movies, mainstream meaning genre movies, from action films to drama, melodrama, I went into advertising and worked as an art director and production designer, doing TV commercials for Philippine advertising for about 12 years before I became, you know, a filmmaker. Earlier on, I wanted to become a filmmaker, but I haven't been to a film school. I was about to enroll at the time in New York, but because of in film school in New York, but because of my job at the time as a production designer, there were a lot of demands, and I choose to, you know, instead of going back and study film, I choose to stay and just work. So I thought I'm going to miss a lot of opportunities and a lot of work if I'm going to the States and study film. So I'd rather I stayed and went back to the Philippines and just work as a production designer. So for me, I was ready at that time to just, you know, become a production designer because I am enjoying what I do, and I think at the time I'm already contented with what I do as a production designer. I get to create a lot of sets and a nice setting for TV commercial, and for me, I really find fulfillment in that. So, of course, when the opportunity came in 2005, when somebody approached me to make a film, you know, I easily grabbed that opportunity because it's like a dream come true. And at the time, I just wanted to fulfill that dream in 2005. And after that, I'd like to go back and advertise and work, because I'm not really taking filmmaking seriously at that time. It's just like a fulfillment of a dream. And one film is just enough. It is, you know, Masahista. And of course, the rest is history after that one film.
Yes, you did that film. You presented in Locarno and you win the Golden Leopard. Yeah. So that's where your career as a filmmaker starts off.
Yeah.
And then over the past 10 years, you have directed already 12 feature films.
Yes.
And you do them quite fast.
Yeah. Well, yes, because I enjoyed so much what I do. I didn't realize the kind of happiness and fulfillment that I get whenever I make films, whenever I am trying to create stories. It's just like nonstop, the energy and you know, what's going on in my mind is like, you know, it's really nonstop. I just want to continue just creating and looking for interesting stories. And that's what really keep me, you know, what's really keep me going. You know, this kind of unexplainable happiness that I get and fulfillment that I get whenever I create a story and make films.
You have always more or less focused on the social portrayal of the Filipino society, but you have also made use of different styles.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see an evolution over the past years?
You know, seriously, I think it's not more the form, it's more of the content that dictates the kind of form that I will tackle, that I will take with the kind of film or with the kind of story that I'm telling. Because whenever I research and whenever I create a story, you know, along the way you discover something, and then you create something in your mind that you think that it would best depict the story that you're trying to say. You know, so it's not really, you know, the evolution of, you know, a form of style. I think it's more of the content dictating the form. So that's how that's my take on it. Like, for instance, I would see, for instance, Thy Womb, which I've shot in 2012, as a similarity more or less with Foster Child, which I did in 2007 or 2008. So there's a gap, you know. But at the same time, when I did Tirador, it's totally different. It's when the cutting is, you know, is this junk. Meaning there is no long take. There's long takes, but at the same time, after one scene, there's like this chunk cutting in the editing. So again, it's form, and that's what I think it dictates because of the story that I'm telling. So yeah.
Well, the form is actually very particular because it's so realistic.
Yeah.
The fact that you get that. Many people actually think that you're just shooting documentaries.
Yeah.
But you're not.
I am not, yeah. Well, maybe in that sense it is, it is very common in all my films, because what I'm trying to show in my films is realism. So I think that what threads all my films together, not only the social issues, but also in a way that kind of style of, you know, bringing reality in films.
There are two, in my opinion, there are two main features from your cinema which actually you use to get that impression of realism, which is first the time of research, which mm-hmm. is very, very, very long, and then the spontaneity you get from the actors by not giving them the script.
Yeah, that's right. It's very true. During the research process, like what I've said a while ago, my mind is always open to what I'm going to learn. Because, you know, filmmaking and doing film is a work in progress. You just cannot stop and say, tell yourself that I am good in this. You know, it's not that, and it's not going to happen. Because, you know, as you go along, as you do your research, you always discover a lot of things that you don't even imagine that you will discover along the way. And these are moments, these are stories that I'd like to capture and I'd like to bring in my films eventually when I do the production. So that's why the research is very, very important, because this is where I talk to real people. This is where I immerse, you know, with the community, with the stories where I, with the people where I get the stories. So this for me is important, and I cannot take that away from my filmmaking process. It's significant for me. So the spontaneity, it has to happen, because you cannot capture spontaneity, you know, when you rehearse the actor. You know, there would even times where I would try to create a situation where I would like to get, you know, from my actors, I'd like to get that spontaneous reaction to a situation. You know, things I wouldn't even tell them while I'm giving the instructions, and then I'll try to create a situation which they themselves don't know. You know, and things will just happen on the set, and they just have to react to it, because that's being spontaneous. Because for as long as you are within the character, you know your character very well, you are living the character, you are not just acting it out, but you are living it, then anything falls into the right place.
How is it to be an independent filmmaker in the Philippine Islands? We just had, you gave a masterclass a couple of hours ago here in Gijón. And you said that there is no public in itself in the Philippine Islands for independent cinema. There's more public for mainstream movies.
Yeah.
Whereas you have become already a filmmaker who has retrospectives in international film festivals around the world. Mm-hmm. So where is exactly your public?
Well, I would say maybe my audience would be the young audience of this generation. I'm lucky that because of the technology, I was able to get the access to show my films to the young audience. Although I must say that even if I have the young audience for my films, not a lot, but at least it is the start. It is the start of creating a concrete a concrete audience, meaning an established audience. So I'm just starting. So the filmmakers or the directors who are going to benefit most will be the future filmmakers, because we were able to create an audience for alternative cinema. And I don't mind, you know, starting very slowly, you know, with my kind of films. And I'm very, very, very fortunate and really blessed to have producers who would continue to invest with the kind of films that I make. So without any compromise for commercialism or the return of investments. That's why I try to make films in a, you know, in a very low budget, but at the same time focus more on the content, because you know, it's really very expensive to make films, to produce a film, especially from mainstream cinema. That's why I don't really blame producers, you know, who will do everything and anything just to make their film commercial, because they want to have a return of investment. They would invest several millions, you know, to create movies, to make movies, and I completely understand their situation. So for me to be able to do the kind of films that I want to make, I try to, you know, work and focus more on the story and try to create a process and ways and means to make films in a less, you know, less expensive way. You know, because I know how is it, you know, working in a production, because I've been in the production, I've been behind the scene for the longest time, so I know where the money goes, you know, where to save and all that, and I make use of that experience for me to be able to make films in a very low budget way.
Actually, even if we tend to think that Philippines is actually a developing country where making films would seem to be more difficult, you have several times said that it actually looks more difficult to make a film here in Europe, even though we have more support from institutions.
Yeah, I think, I've been trying to figure that out, because I was asked several times and I would say, because in the Philippines, you know, people are cooperative, blah, blah, blah. But then I realize it's part of our culture. I think it's a Filipino culture where people are very hospitable, they really want to help, they really want to be in the movie no matter what. I mean, regardless if you're in the production or you are in the behind the scene, because Filipinos just love entertainment, you know. And union doesn't work in the Philippines. You know, maybe because of our culture, we don't care about unions. If we want to do things, we just want to do things on our own, and we don't care. In Europe, I tried this when I gave a master class in Germany. I asked my students to just go out and film, you know, bring your camera, and, you know, this is the situation, or create a situation by just like filming, you know, filming a taxi driver or filming a passenger trying to look for a taxi. Anybody can do it, because they said, we can't do that here. There's such thing as privacy, you know, you just can't film people walking. It's impossible. But in the Philippines, of course you can do that. You just go out of your house and then you film everyone who goes on the, you know, ride a jeepney, you know, and you ride the bus, and they don't mind, because for them it's like, when they see a camera, they would even smile, and they really don't mind. I mean, so I think it has something to do with our culture. Filipinos love to, you know, they're happy people. I mean, despite of the difficulties in their life, they are very happy and very accommodating. It's something that you don't see in Europe. In Europe, people tend to be more, you know, personal, and they don't want to be associated with everyone, with anyone. And especially if they see a camera, and they see a camera, it's, for them, it's more of privacy. Why are you filming me? You know, so. That makes a huge difference in filmmaking, you know, in Europe and in the Philippines.
I understand. You tour the world with your films. Now, Laf Diaz has won also the Golden Leopard in Locarno this year.
Yes, yes.
We would be very easily tempted to say that Filipino cinema is actually trendy. Mm-hmm. But I guess it's not. I would like you to explain to us, our listeners, what's the situation now?
Well, there is an awareness about alternative cinema in the Philippines now. Like what I said a while ago, that this generation are very lucky to have alternative cinema, to see alternative cinema, not just mainstream, not just films from coming from Hollywood. So they have more choices. And filmmakers now are also a lot luckier than, you know, than the filmmakers from before in the 70s and 80s, because they can make a lot of films, you know, because of the technology. So I must say that, you know, thanks to the technology and thanks to the huge talent that, you know, that the Philippines have in terms of filmmakers who tell their stories differently, and there's like varied and a mix of filmmakers who want to tell their stories differently, and they just love to, you know, they just love to tell their stories, and hopefully that it's gonna keep that way. It's gonna be that way for the longest time, and hopefully the passion will be, you know, will be there, and it's not just like a fad, you know, it's not just like the technology where after a year or two, nobody wants to, you know, to be on it anymore. So, but at the end of the day, those filmmakers or those storytellers who are really serious in their craft will stay, and those who just want the glamour of it, you know, they'll fade away.
And last but not least, what are the upcoming projects that you're working on?
Well, I just finished a film about the typhoon, the strongest typhoon that hit the world, and it's Haiyan, and the title of the film is Taklub. It's a word coming from the place. It's called Tacloban. The name of the place, the city, is called Tacloban. And Tacloban came from the word taklub. Taklub meaning it's a basket that catches that is being used to catch fish. Okay, so it's also a metaphor of, you know, of the situation of the things that happen in that island. So I did this film. Is for me, it's more like a tribute. It's more like a tribute to all the survivors. There are a lot of controversies and political issues actually that went on and that is going on in that part of the country. Because of partisan situation. So, and this film is a story of people who try to move on in their lives, people who try to pick up the pieces after the storm, the literal storm, and the storm that after that happened to them. It's a story of mothers who lost their children, of a husband who lost their wives, and of children who lost their parents.
Thank you very much, Brianta Mendoza. This is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.